Welcome to the Leader Impact Podcast. We are a community of leaders with a network in over 350 cities around the world, dedicated to optimizing our personal, professional, and spiritual lives to have impact. This show is where we have a chance to listen and engage with leaders who are living this out. We love talking with leaders, so if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions to make this show even better, please let us know. And the best way to stay connected in Canada is through our newsletter at leaderimpact.ca or on social media at Leader Impact. And if you're listening from outside of Canada, anywhere around the world, check out our website at leaderimpact.com. I'm your host, Lisa Peters, and our guest today is Jason Demers. Jason has spent the past decade in the non-hydrocarbon upstream gas space with a focus on helium and is the Tacitus Helium Development Concept and Vision Originator. Jason established a strategy and brought together the initial team to implement the vision and carry it through to successful operations. Jason has built key relationships with top-level Navajo state and federal officials in the House and Senate and senior political and regulatory influencers. Jason initiated and continues to lead efforts to enable long-term developments of America's untapped helium resources and provided testimonial before the Congressional Subcommittee on Energy and Mineral Resources, leading to the introduction and passage of the Helium Extraction Act of 2017. This testimony has given Jason the unique honor of being the first Canadian to testify before a U.S. Congressional House Committee. In October 2021, Jason's company was acquired by the Navajo Nation via the Navajo Transitional Energy Company, where he continues to support their transition efforts to a clean energy future and economic independence as Director of Strategy Development. Jason has been married to his wife for 29 years, and together they have two grown children and recently became grandparents for a second time. He enjoys playing his acoustic guitars, touring with his wife on their Harley, and spending time playing with his grandchildren. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. It's a pleasure to be here.
That is quite the intro.
it's a mouthful.
Wow. Yeah, I'm impressed I got through that one. So you are originally from Balgomie.
That's right. I'm small town Saskatchewan kid.
Oh, well, we've grown well out here. That's how we do it here.
Right. Big vision, big view.
Big vision, big view. Good. I love it. Now, this podcast, for anyone listening, is going to be a little different. I have prepped Jason with four questions. We're going to talk about pivotal turning points, principles of success, failures and mistakes, and how they're actually a good thing, and then just how you want to grow personally, professionally, spiritually. So, Jason, are you ready?
Sure. Let's dive into it.
All right. So we are looking for your professional story and how you got to where you are today. So give us a couple snapshots of if there were pivotal turning points along that journey.
Well, the journey started, I was not one that did well on the academic side. So going through schooling just wasn't an option for me. I learned that I learn better by doing things and just books. Books didn't work the same for me. So I was trying to figure out what does my career path look like? There's not a lot of great paying jobs or career paths that tend to run from people who are not degreed. But I found that one of the things that was sort of natural for me was finding an opportunity in the gaps between the information. I would do a lot of reading on what's going on out there in the world. I started off my first big step in the career path was establishing an electrical regulatory company in Alberta when I saw that the government had privatized the permitting business. And so I started an inspection business that kind of filled that gap and made me a specialist in the oil and gas industry in the electrical regulatory world because nobody else was doing it. So it was easy to be an expert in a field where you are alone. And I built that company up to about a 35-man company and brought in some partners, and it was actually very successful and continues to operate today. I sold my position and I went out, we'll call it on my own, I wanted to get closer to the wellhead. I wanted to be more part of the energy side of things versus the supplier side. And I would say that as I stepped out and kind of rebranded my career getting into the upstream business, I was faced with a hard truth that, as I like to say, was served cold. Is if you're really going to go after something, you've got to be prepared to do it without the safety net. or understand that there's not a safety net. I was told that by one of the guys that was an advisor, a friend of mine along the way, when I thought, well, if I step out into this other venture going into the CO2 business, which eventually ended up in the helium business, that, well, if it doesn't work out, these other guys will help cover me and I'll be fine. And I was informed that, son, you're on that tightrope by yourself. You got to decide if you want to turn back or keep going. So I was given that dose of reality very early on in getting into this non-hydrocarbon upstream space. And that was a moment that I really had to do some self-reflection. Was I prepared to walk away from the comfort that I had created in the business with the partners? I had a very solid network that all would go away if I took this step. In the sense that it's a completely different business that I'd be getting into. So it was scary. It was very exciting, but it was terrifying. But it started my journey into the upstream non-hydrocarbon space, which eventually became my helium interest.
Mm-hmm. I find it, you know, you talk about exciting and terrifying and no safety net. It is exciting and terrifying to be in that position. But if you weren't, you know, like I think you're not going to grow, you know, taking those big chances. And, you know, there may not be a safety net. You are on the tightrope alone. I love that. That was really good. Really good comments. I'm taken from that. So can you give us your best principle of success and tell us a story that illustrates this?
Well, I think my best, I've got a couple and they go hand in hand. And one, and this I learned through the work that I did with U.S. Congress and trying to get some legislation changed, is that influence is ultimately more important than control, and it's actually more achievable. Mm. And the second part to that is, it sounds a little more of the along the cliche side, is honesty, integrity is really all you have control of at the end of the day. Everything else belongs to others and how they respond to you. Mm-hmm. So I would say that the influence over control aspect of that is understanding it. I was starting as a Canadian, starting out very fresh in the U.S. marketplace, and particularly the political marketplace. And so understanding how to influence legislative leaders in the United States, state and tribal leaders, you can't control how they respond to you. You can only be sincere and open with people and allow them to respond how they respond. So I would say that the ability to influence the U.S. Congress to pass helium legislation in a record period, from it was introduced and passed within 2 years, and that was done by influence.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to step back maybe, I don't know how many years, and I'm going to go to your education, because listening to you, you made a comment earlier about you were a doer. So I'm not sure, did you graduate with an engineering degree? You know, you kind of, like, I'm not, was it a trades? Because you are at a position of influence. And I just want to know, or what did you take? What did you do? Is it just all the work you've created? Like, give me a little insight on that.
Well, let's just say it took me a couple of tries to get through grade 12.
That's honest.
Know, honestly, like I was a low level grade student. I did graduate high school, and that's my highest level of education.
Yeah.
The rest of it is based on networking, on creating real relationships, and not just transactional relationships, which has at times burned me and hurt me. But as I've been accused of having an overinflamed sense of fairness when I deal with people, that I deal with people the way I expect that they should be dealing with me. And that's, in the business world, that's not always the case. Even in personal life, that's not always the case. So it was, you know, to your question, there's no academic path that, I don't even know that you could take an academic path, that maybe political sciences and things like that. But it was more about understanding who you need to know and getting to know them.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Because I think sometimes we listen to leaders like yourself and we think, oh, you know, they're masters, they're engineers, they're, you know, masters of this. And just to hear your story, I mean, it's grassroots. I love it. So I just appreciate you answering that question. So the third question is, we learn more from our failures and mistakes than successes. Would you share one of the greatest failures or mistakes that you've learned from? And you're laughing already.
On that question, I mean, I've been through this interview process on the Leader Impact before, and every time I come to that question, I have a whole new list of failures, or learnings, right? And so it's always which one do you share on how it leads in? So I think one of the biggest learning opportunities I had was knowing your deal, knowing what you want out of it, beginning with the end in mind, to use that. I was able to navigate and set up meetings with some very big corporate, high-powered companies that were very interested in what I had to say and in what I was presenting and in the opportunity that I laid out. One of my skill sets or strengths is sharing a vision, is getting people to see the vision of what I'm working on, and that's helpful in building interest and excitement. And I had seven of the top VPs and executives of a large US corporation at the table looking at my deal. I laid out all the pieces of it, and at the end of the conversation, over a period of hours in a conference room in Houston, they said, so what are you looking for from us? And I had no idea what that meant. I got to a point where they were all eating from the trough, but I didn't know exactly what I was looking for from them, and I didn't even have anything to propose. So that I was sent home with my tail between my legs, and understanding that, boy, next time you get in front of people and want to present a deal, make sure you come prepared with, what is it you want from them? What is the desired outcome? And that's where the begin with the end in mind has become my mantra in most meetings and businesses.
Oh, that's great. I think too many times it's funny because I'll get asked to go to meetings and I'm like, what do you need from me? Get to the, you know, and to not to go into the meeting and not know. Did you just you go in thinking they're not they weren't going to give to you, or they weren't going to was just listening? Like, how was the meeting set up?
I went
Where did the
in.
misunderstanding happen?
It sounds simple when you're on the outside, but when you're living it, it's a little more forest than the trees scenario. I went into this meeting thinking, believing that they know more about the business I'm in than I do, and that they would have some ideas as to how we could work together and how they would want to structure a deal. So I left that door open without having any sort of backstop to say, this is what I would like to see us do. So when that question came up, I expected that they would have an answer, and I was wrong.
Oh, that is a great
That's a
lesson.
hard failure. That
Yeah.
was skin the knees and the nose and the elbows all at the same time. And in retrospect, I go, well, duh. Like you should go in knowing the answer. But yeah, that was a big failure.
Yeah. I don't think you've done it again. I mean, there's probably other mistakes, but you haven't done that one again.
That one I have not repeated.
Yeah. So are you the type of guy that asks for help? I'm just asking.
Yes, actually, I
Okay.
actually find that none of this stuff that I've been able to do, I would ever be able to have done on my own. And it's all help from people in all different aspects, whether it's mentors to help me really evaluate what I'm thinking or the direction I'm thinking of taking, or people that I have the opportunity, being, I'll call it, of the lesser educated side, is that I don't believe I know a whole lot. In fact, I believe that I know very little about a lot of things. So there are people who know a lot more about most things than I do, and I'm more than happy to engage.
I'm happy to surround myself with those people, right? If I don't have the answers, I've got a great support group around me. All right. So at Leader Impact, we want to grow personally, professionally, and spiritually for increasing impact. So would you be willing to share an example of how the spiritual makes a practical difference in your life as a leader?
It certainly does. I found that faith is something to be practiced. And I feel like I've had an immersion in the situations that require faith to be able to provide direction and guidance. It's like speaking another language. If you're immersed in the culture of it, you learn it faster. And I think faith is the same when you're in situations where you do need to depend on a power greater than yourself. Mm-hmm. So I don't really have a single point example, but like I say, more of an ongoing journey of experiences that test and temper your faith. And I think that probably one of the greatest opportunities I've found is the business network that I've created today. Is I'm surrounded by people of faith, of Christians, and the power of being able to build a relationship on sharing your faith, that the vulnerability that comes with sharing your faith, especially in business at times, really builds some foundational relationships. And I think that's where a lot of my solid network connections are made. Mm-hmm. is through just being vulnerable and sharing your faith.
Mm-hmm. And are you referring to your leader impact groups, or, because I know you're involved, I think.
Yeah, I've been involved with the Leader Impact here in Calgary since Leader Impact came to Calgary, and prior to that. That's a great place. That's also a very safe place, I find. But I'm actually referring to the broader business community. A number of the business network contacts that I have, we've built a relationship to a point where we know each other's faith. We talk about our faith. So it's outside of the safe group setting, and it's in that open business. Talk about it with people on Capitol Hill. I talk about it with people in meetings, and it's not so much a soapbox profession as just making sure that I put myself out there, and they know that I am a Christian. Yeah. And some people try to use that as a negotiating point, but I found most people will open up with their faith or their perspective or have questions. And that's a great place to build a relationship from.
Wow. That is a great, great story, or a good example. I think it's a tough one to, not come out, but to talk about it, I think, in a business. I struggle to just bring it up. Like, you know, I try to, like, you know, wear the cross, might start the conversation. Of course, it's how I act. It's how I treat people that, you know, I hope you know I'm a Christian, but the conversation, I can struggle with. I will freely admit that. And so listening to you share this is a good inspiration. So thank you for sharing that.
It's definitely not one of those things that comes naturally. We tend to, I think as people, certain people are really called on this, but I think as people, we tend to be very guarded about sharing our faith, and especially in today's society where there is such a polarization that between Christianity and the rest of the world, sort of thing. So it's a scarier place to be open.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you being open. All right. Well, I have two final questions. I ask these questions of all my guests on my show. You know that Leader Impact is dedicated to leaders having a lasting impact. We've talked about that. So as you continue to move through your own journey, have you considered what you want your faith legacy to be when you leave this world?
You know, when you pose that question, it's one of those that I don't often think about. Mm-hmm. But funnily enough, my wife and I were just talking about it over the weekend, in that with our grandchildren, with our children and our grandchildren, it's instilling the word and the faith of God in our grandchildren, and helping be those guides. I think that as a legacy for, as a faith legacy, knowing that another generation after us is grounded in their faith, is about the greatest legacy I could have.
Yeah, that is a wonderful legacy, and I completely agree that we are here to lead our children. So my last question is, what brings you the greatest joy?
I asked my wife that this morning. I said, what brings me the greatest joy? Which she said her.
Right.
And, you know, she's not wrong. But so that's a broad spectrum question. The one component of it is the greatest joy is hearing my two-year-old grandson when I walk in go, it's Papa, and be all excited. And hearing that in his voice just brings me joy every single time.
Yep.
And on a more, on another level, I find what brings me a lot of deep joy is being given the opportunity to serve somebody, help somebody who is really in need, kind of in a spontaneous way. That I always come away from those experiences just filled with joy in the spirit.
Yeah, that is a great answers, Jason. That was really good. So I want to thank you. It has been a quick 20 minutes. It has been a pleasure to meet you again, because I know we've met. Idols could have been a long time ago, because somehow there was 2 years of our lives that just. You know,
it's a blur.
I think it was this way because it was a Zoom that we met. So
right.
It must have been somewhere in there. But I just want to thank you for taking the time out of your day. You're a very busy guy to catch up to. So I just want to thank you for joining us. Your answers are so just high level leadership. And for me, it's like a servant leadership. It's just, it was really great to talk to you and to hear you with your answers. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Lisa. It was a pleasure.
All right. Well, this ends our podcast with you, but if anyone wants to connect with you, what is the best way to find you?
The only social platform to connect with me is on LinkedIn.
All right.
You can find me there under the Critical Minerals side.
All right. Well, again, thank you. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Lisa.
All right. Well, if you're part of Leader Impact, you can always discuss or share this podcast with your group. And if you're not yet a part of Leader Impact, would like to find out more and grow your leadership, find our podcast page on our website at leaderimpact.ca and check out our free leadership assessment. You will also find on our webpage chapter 1 of Braden Douglas's book, Becoming a Leader of Impact. It is an amazing leadership book. You can also check out groups available in Canada at leaderimpact.ca, or if you're listening from anywhere else in the world, check out leaderimpact.com or get in touch with us by email, info@leaderimpact.ca, and we will connect you. And if you like this podcast, please leave us a comment, give us a rating or a review. This will help other global leaders find our podcast. Thank you for engaging with us. And remember, impact starts with you.